So Lord, may graciously help me. I would turn your prayerful attention to the book of Job and chapter 19 and verse 25. Job 19 and verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job 19 and verse 25. The book of Job is thought by many to be one of the oldest books in the Bible, possibly written before Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. But Job was one who had a difficult pathway. As we look at the beginning of the book of Job, he was a very godly man, an upright man. His commendation, not by himself but by God, was very great. We read at the beginning, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That was not his own description of himself. That was God's description of him. A godly man. A great man. He was a very rich man as well. There was this test. Satan came and said that the only reason Job serves God is because you've put a hedge about him. Because you protected him. And Job only loves God because of the good gifts he gets from God. And if you take those away, then his faith will be, there won't be anything left. He will curse God and die. Well, as you know, in the account of Job, God did allow Satan to attack Job. In one day he lost his family, all his children, his livelihood, his flocks, his herds, his cattle, and he had lost so much. And then after that he also lost his health. He was covered from head to foot with boils. Job was taken from a very prosperous, naturally speaking, position to a very difficult position. And the Lord allowed that. And ultimately, the Lord was going to demonstrate and vindicate Job. But Job's faith, though he was not perfect in the sense that he was not sinless, but he was a foreshadowing of what the Lord would do. He would take his only begotten Son, who never sinned, and there would be that wrath of God poured out upon him. The Lord Jesus Christ would come as that innocent sufferer, that one that was declared holy, harmless, undefiled, separate than sinners. And so this book of Job shows the pathway and the trials that this man went through. Because, you see, his wife said, you've received, why don't you curse God and die? Everything's gone against you. But he wouldn't do that. Have we received good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not also receive his evil? In other words, everything's in God's hand. Job trusted that everything was in God's hand, and yet there were so many things Job could not understand. And no doubt if we were in such a situation, how much we would be confused about. Why has God allowed this? Why has he done this? What is his purpose? Is his hand against us? Is God for us or is he against us? Well, you see, in the chapter that we read here, Job, first of all, is upset with his friends who, they came to comfort him, but they didn't really comfort him at all. They tried to say that the reason all this trouble has come was because clearly Job had secretly turned away from God in some matter that they didn't know, but they believed that Job had done that. And that is why God had gone out against them. But we're told specifically that wasn't the case. This was a great trial. So Job was falsely accused. His friends who came to comfort him with the intention of comforting him end up not comforting him at all. And undermining, as it were, his faith. That if he really was, if God was really for him, you see, if you look, just look back in some of the earlier chapters of Job, if you look in Job 8, this is the words of Bildad the Shuhite. And verse 6 it says, "If thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous." You see, Bildad was saying, if God was really for you, he would appear. And the fact that he isn't appearing immediately is an indication that he is not for you. Well, this, of course, was wrong reasoning. And we need to remember this. We need to have that faith that Job had. Faith. Later on, we read in chapter 13, those well-known words, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." You see, Satan said, if you take away the good things that he has, he will curse thee to thy face. But Job didn't. Job maintained that integrity that God was still his God, and that he didn't understand why God was allowing it. And when we come into our trials and difficulties, we do not always understand. There were so many things that Job did not understand. But in our text, we have something very, very solid. Something completely different than uncertainty. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Oh, there were so many things that Job didn't know. Job didn't understand. He couldn't give a reason. He didn't know what God was doing. Later on, in chapter 23, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I go forward, but I cannot behold him. But he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take." See, it's another high point. Job realized that God knew the way that he was taking, even though he couldn't understand it. "And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." A realization that God, although he couldn't understand all the reasons behind it, that God is good. And God was doing this ultimately for good. But in that text that we've read, for a text in verse 24, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Job recognized that he did have a Redeemer. Oh, so many years, so early on in the pathway of life. Yet Job recognized a Redeemer, the need, my Redeemer, not a Redeemer, but my Redeemer. And this word Redeemer is the same word as we spoke of, I think last time I was with you, of the city of refuge, and the Avenger of Blood was that one that chased the manslayer and made sure that justice was done. It was one of the aspects of a kinsman redeemer, the Goel in the Hebrew. But the other aspects were like Boaz, was to buy back lost inheritance, was to come and deliver from the slavery and from poverty, and to set back in a good position. One that was near kinsman, one that was flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, and would do for us and be a blessing to us. This is what Job recognized, that he had such a Redeemer. Such a one that was able to redeem, to buy back to restore that which sin had lost. That broken fellowship, that brokenness between him and his God. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, so many things that Job did not know. And perhaps in your pathway, there's so many things that you cannot understand. But do you know this? Can you say, I know that my Redeemer liveth? It's a similar word, really, to the great Apostle Paul as he writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Saul of Tarsus, or Paul the Apostle, suffered many things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, Paul's faith was firm. This was the object of his faith. I know whom I've believed. And Job, so many years before the Lord Jesus had come to this earth, before the Lord Jesus had died and risen again from the dead, Job had that faith, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And may we tonight, in all the different pathways that we walk in, be able to rest on this truth. Oh, many things you can't be able to tell why it is and what the Lord's doing, where he's working and what the end will be. Perhaps you can't tell. And so often we can't. But do you have this? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Whatever happens, I have one to stand and to represent me and to vindicate me. Oh, who was to vindicate Job? He had all these friends against him. Providence seemed to be laughing at him. His friends had all the strength on their side. They could say all manner of cruel things to him, and he couldn't defend himself, could he? It seemed that God had gone out against him as well. But he recognized that ultimately God hadn't gone out against him. That he had a Redeemer that was able to buy back and to restore all that had been lost. He restoreth my soul. Is that a comfort to you? As you look at the brokenness that sin brings and all the difficulties that come into our pathways at times, to recognize that there is a Redeemer. There is one that God has appointed to buy back that which was lost and ruined in the fall. As we read in Hebrews, that precious Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. This is talking about the Lord Jesus coming as a man. He himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So the Lord Jesus was going to come and he was going to destroy the power of Satan and the power of death through death. You see, it was a way that the disciples didn't understand. And yet this was the way he was going to do it. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus came to be a conqueror, to liberate his people. Moses on that Mount of Transfiguration, he spoke of his decease, his exodus that he would accomplish at Jerusalem. This exodus where the bondage and the power of death because of sin was going to be broken by that kinsman redeemer standing in our place. Verse 15 of Hebrews 2, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. He didn't come to this earth as an angel, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone. Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up like unto me of your brethren. There was going to be this raising up of the Redeemer, the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second person in the Trinity was going to become flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, so that he could be our near kinsman, so that he could do what Job recognized was so vital and that he trusted he would do. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, that he liveth and he ever liveth to restore, you see, and to raise him up. He believed in the resurrection of the dead. Though he says, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I seek God. He recognized that the resurrection, there would be a vindication, and that he would be able to raise from the dead. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. He took flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone, made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. You see, the whole idea of a kinsman was a near family member to sort out all the woes that a near family member had got into. And the Lord Jesus is that one who came to be one of us so that he could restore all that Adam did in falling in the Garden of Eden. The second Adam to undo all that the first Adam did, as it were, to restore that which he took not away, but to bring his people back to God, to restore an inheritance. You see, one of the great things of a kinsman redeemer was to restore lost inheritance. And we've lost that inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. We've lost it because of our sin. Adam had it. Adam had communion with God, but it was lost. There was that the angel guarding the Garden of Eden. There was to be a separation. But the Redeemer has come to restore that which he took not away, to restore that which was lost. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. But it's interesting that before these words we have a desire of Job that his testimony would be remembered. And it's amazing that we, thousands of years later, are gathering in Colnbrook Chapel to consider his testimony. In verse 23 it says, oh that my words were now written, oh that they were printed in a book. But they are. They've been preserved to us. Thousands of years later, we are able to read these words. Job's desire was granted. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven as in an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Oh, he wanted this message to remain. He wanted to tell it to the generations following. And he has. He's telling it to the generations following. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He wanted his faith, as it were, to be passed on to future generations. That he did have a Redeemer. That there was a Redeemer. That there would be coming a Redeemer. that he would know in the resurrection. And of course we know that this was indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time he came. Born at Bethlehem. Lived that life, that perfect life. Flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. Worked out that righteousness and then laid down his life a ransom for many. So that he could deal with that great and last enemy, death. Oh, Job needed to be vindicated. He couldn't vindicate himself. Oh, the judgment that his friends gave of him was very negative. How could he vindicate himself? But God did. God vindicated Job. And it became clear, and it became known to his three friends particularly, that Job was not a hypocrite. Job was not, had not followed cunningly devised fables, but he was a genuine child of God. And we see that in the last chapter of Job. As the Lord came and spoke to Job and showed something of the greatness of himself. And Job, as it were, gets smaller and smaller until he recognizes that God is almighty and he is nothing. These beautiful words in Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Job acknowledges that he didn't understand the greatness of God. And he spoke unadvisedly with his lips at times. Because he couldn't see how this could work together for good. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job had a glimpse of the greatness of God. And the effect, was it the same as it was with Isaiah? Woe is me, for I am undone. That's what Isaiah experienced when he saw the Lord lifted up, high and lifted up. Woe is me. For I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King. And yet, this display of the greatness of God did not ruin Job. Job felt to be nothing, but then God was going to bless Job. And then God says in verse 7, how that he vindicates Job. And he said, after the Lord has spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. So here God is now vindicating Job. Oh, they said all these hard speeches against Job. And yet Job is given, God then, at this last chapter, gives his verdict. Oh, so much words were spoken about against Job. And the way that we take, you see, there may be others that will criticize, falsely accuse us. Of course, it was with the Lord Jesus. He was falsely accused. There's shadows of Christ in all of this. And we read, you see, that they were to take, these three friends were to take seven bullocks and seven rams and go to my servant Job and offer up yourselves a burnt offering. And look at this in verse 8. And my servant Job shall pray for you. Pray for you, Job. You're to pray for your friends, those that said those bitter words against you, those that said all manner of evil against you, really, and didn't encourage you. Is it not something of the words of the Lord Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, how the bitter words that were spoken against Job, and yet Job is commanded to pray for his three friends. And he did. And we read that God turned the captivity of Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He did have one to redeem him. He did have one to reverse all the curse that had come upon him. He believed. His faith in God was not put to shame. And of course, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, if you look in Isaiah 53, that speaking of Christ and his great work. But we come to that in the last verse of Isaiah 53. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Job was, wasn't he? Christ was. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Well, Christ made intercession for the transgressors. Job did. Now, Job, of course, did not bear our sins. He was a sinner himself. But there were shadows of good things to come. Shadows of the one that would come. That would be a holy, harmless, undefiled, separate than sinners. That would be totally falsely accused. But would make intercession for transgressors. For you and me. Transgressors. Those that have fallen from the way. To bring us back. Made intercession for the transgressors. Job did. But Job had this faith, you see. I know that my Redeemer liveth. What a blessed testimony to be able to say in all the darkness that sometimes surrounds us, whatever we do not know, or whatever the difficulties comes into our pathway, like Job was able to say earlier, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. May we have that deep faith. But though there may be those things that come under, and it seems that when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And this was the standard, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I have a Redeemer that is able to reverse all the curse of sin. I have a Redeemer that is able to make me accepted in the Beloved. A Redeemer to reverse all the curse of sin. Job recognized this beautiful truth. He rejoiced in it. He wanted it to be preserved to tell the generation following. That's us today. When we walk through trials and difficulties, when we walk through darknesses, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, his three friends were quick to say that it was all finished with Job. Job had quite mistaken the road. But Job hadn't. God was with Job. And Job's faith did not fail. You see, in Isaiah 50 we have these words. Much of Isaiah 50 is straight prophetic of Christ. Speaking about, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. This is Isaiah 50, so much speaking of Christ. But then in verse 10 of Isaiah 50, we have these words, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness? Job at this time walked in darkness. He didn't walk in darkness all his life. He'd known something of the light of God's countenance. He'd known something of blessing. But at this time, he was walking in darkness. That obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. What is he to do? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Oh, and that's what Job did. Job couldn't understand it, but he let him trust in the name of the Lord. I know that my Redeemer liveth. That was his trust. That was his security. Though he didn't know why it had all come into his pathway, what God was doing. But in his life, you see, he was going to be an encouragement for many down through the ages, wasn't he? For those that have walked in trials and difficulties and disappointments. Job had walked through that way, and some of the chapters of Job are so like what happened to the Saviour himself as he walked through those bitter trials, what Christ endured on the cross, the hidings of his Father's face, his friends, the disciples all forsook him and fled, those crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then we read those words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It seemed that God, his Father, had withdrawn all the favourable sense of his presence. But he still called him his God. He still trusted in God. Peter tells us exactly what was going on in those hours of darkness. 1 Peter 2, verse 23, who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. See, the Lord Jesus committed himself to his Father. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Job, with all his things that he couldn't explain, he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Ultimately, the Lord will appear for me. And the Lord will, the one that I've trusted to cleanse me from my sin, will vindicate this. Oh, what a blessing to have a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That these Old Testament saints, they saw through and recognized the preciousness of these things, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. That's how this Redeemer is going to redeem us, by his own blood. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Job, this tried child of God, calamities and difficulties came into his pathway that he looked not for very suddenly. His friends then came and really we have at the beginning of the book, we have those first two chapters given to the narrative of Job, first of all losing all his external things and then his health. And then we have not the rest of the book given over to, as it were, grieving for his family and for his loss of wealth. It was really, where was God in all this? And really what Satan was trying to do was undermine his faith in God. And that's really what Satan was trying to do to Christ on the cross. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the Christ, let him come down from the cross. He's trying to undermine his faith in his God. And yet, you see, Job recognized, I know that my Redeemer liveth. The Lord Jesus was able to say, to commit himself to him that judgeth righteously, that he was able to commit himself to his Father, though he slay me. And that sword of divine justice, you see, came out, smite the shepherd, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He still trusted in his Father that he would bring him through death. You see, this is the great thing that we read in Psalm 16. Psalm 16 tells us, you see, that the Lord Jesus would not corrupt in the grave. Therefore, this is Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see, here we see the glory, the joy. Ye therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your sorrow shall be turned into joy. The sorrow that Job had, the sorrow that Christ knew. Oh, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now he's crowned with glory and honour. Oh, the cross before the crown. You see, Satan always wants to, as it were, short-circuit it and give the crown before the crown first. Oh, he said, if you bow down and worship me, you can have the crown straight away. All the kingdoms of the earth, they're mine to give you. But no, it was to be the cross and then the crown. Not the crown to start with. He was going to first suffer and then be exalted. He was going to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, Job, that one that came so long ago, was able to point us to the Redeemer. This one that would redeem. This one that would buy back all that was lost in the fall, to bring back and to redeem. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, could Job have imagined that thousands of years later there would be Christians all over the world reading this chapter, reading these words, and be encouraged that God was their God so many years later? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same Redeemer. It's not a different Redeemer. The same Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ. Job looked forward to him coming. Look forward in time. We look back to a Redeemer that has accomplished. But in another sense we read that it's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, it was always accomplished. This Redeemer, before there was the fall, before Adam fell, there was already appointed in the covenant of grace one that would stand surety to his people, the one that would be a Redeemer, the one that would be reverse all the awful effects of sin. Because this was the will of God from all eternity, to save his people from their sins, to bring a people back to God through the Red Sea of his own blood. And this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. Job wanted it recorded because he wanted God to be praised. He wanted the generations following to know this Redeemer. And we have the benefit of reading these words thousands of years later. The same Redeemer. He hasn't lost his power. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. The resurrection. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. There would be a bodily resurrection of all those that had died in the grave. As we lay to rest the saints of the Lord when they come to their end. Sometimes it's said this is the final resting place of this person. But it isn't. It isn't. When we lay a saint in the grave, it is not their final resting place. They are waiting the resurrection. They're looking forward to this time when their Redeemer is going to come and raise them bodily and enable them to see his face. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Oh, and that was everything to Job. To know that my God, he was still my God, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Oh, with all the difficulties, but this he trusted, that the Lord would raise him up, the Lord would restore him, and he would rise again, because of the work of this gracious Redeemer. Oh, Job looked forward to it. We look back at what has been accomplished and we thank the Lord that there is such a Redeemer. And may that be our trust in our lives, in our troubles, in our darknesses, in the times when we cannot see where God is or what he's doing or why he's doing what he's doing. I know that my Redeemer liveth. There was something solid that you couldn't move Job from by faith. He was certain that his Redeemer lived and that he would vindicate him. As we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will restore his people. He has washed them in his blood. He will bring them home to God. He will present them to the Father faultless. If we look in that beautiful chapter in Revelation chapter 7, this is really what Job was looking at. Revelation 7 verse 13, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." Job, great tribulation. "And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Exactly, as it were, in line with what Job said thousands of years before. I know that my Redeemer liveth. May we know that Redeemer for ourselves. To redeem us from all the curse of our sin. And to present us faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Amen.